Dr. Horton and her hospitality to us, and appreciate God's goodness to us. Glad to be in his house tonight. Glad to be saved, most of all. I really appreciate what the Lord has done for me. Thankful for the family he's given me and for his protection as we've traveled. Traveled quite a few miles, but his protecting hand has been upon us, and so thankful for that. Glad to be saved. Thankful we got a God that has everything under control. And, you know, a lot of the time there, it's out of our control. There's a lot of things that I can't do a thing about. You know, I was talking to the young people. There are some things that, nothing that you could have done could have caused it. Nothing you could have done could have prevented it. It's just life. Things happen to us sometimes. And sometimes when you're in that place where you feel like it's things are kind of out of control, remember that it is all under his control. I'm thankful for that. Thought about Job when the devil came against him. He had to go through God every time. And people said, Lord, let down the hedge on Job, but I don't believe he did. I believe he just moved it. And if you look, he moved it, and then he moved it again. But it was still there. There was still a point at, you know, where the devil couldn't go. I'm thankful for that. I know that if the Lord does allow something like that to happen, when we're in his will, that he'll bring us through. And you look at Job, he came out all right. I'm thankful for God's goodness to us, and glad we serve a God who's able. And I appreciate him.
We're going to let the kids sing. It's so good to be back. And boy, time changes things, doesn't it? I was looking at some of these that were students back when I was around, and now they've got kids, and we're looking at each other saying, you know, time sure has made a change. And, well, I'm not going to let my kids have their way tonight. One wants to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and one wants to sing God Bless America. So I'm going to have them sing what I want them to sing tonight.
Walk I stand a little grand and sinking sand. Oh, little grand this sinking sand.
My hope is built on nothingness but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand, all of the ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock.
walk I stand. Need a shelter when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
This one is staying. Hey, Dad, you want to help us with it? Just feels like I'm going home. I know it's been years since I've been here, but it's comfortable, and I see friendly faces and just a friendly place, and just good to see all of you so much. Been too long. Y'all need to come to Oklahoma.
Well, I've traveled down a long, long road, my heart a heavy, heavy load. You see, one day I met the Lord and heard Him say, why don't you roll that burden on me? Why don't you roll that burden on me? For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down with worry day by day. Roll that burden on me. Why don't you roll that burden on me? For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me. Through a great, great trial, I struggle for many, many miles. You see, one day I met the Lord and heard Him say, why don't you roll that burden on me? Why don't you roll that burden on me? For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me. Why don't you roll that burden on me? For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me. Well, now I'm running down this long, long road. I'm feeling so happy, happy as can be. Oh, I'm so glad that I heard Jesus say, why don't you roll that burden on me? Why don't you roll that burden on me? For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you roll that burden on me? For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me. Well, then I labored through a great, great trial.
Yes.
I struggled so many, many miles. You see, one day
Lord and heard him say,
"Why don't you roll that burden on me?
Why don't you roll that burden on me?
For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me.
Why don't you roll that burden on me?
Hallelujah.
For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me.
Well, once I traveled down a long, long road, I carried a heavy, heavy load, you see. One day I met the Lord and heard him say,
"Why don't you roll that burden on me? Why don't you roll that burden on me? For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me.
Why don't you
roll that burden on me? For you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me."
It's a beautiful sanctuary you have. I believe the last time I was here, you had just began to remodel. So, I mean just began. So, it's been a while, I think. But we're glad to be able to have the opportunity to come up this way. It's been hard for my husband working the hours he works. He's a heating and air technician. And so, we are limited on vacation, and we've got family from coast to coast. My husband's from California. And now that Ben and Melissa's out here, we've got just as much family out in Virginia as we do in California. Yeah. And so now we've got to make a trip to the coast on one side one year and a trip to the coast on another side another year. But we wanted to get to see Micah. We wanted to see all of our nephews and my sister, but we wanted to see Micah. And I called him and I said, "Micah, what do you want for Christmas?" And he said, "A John Deere hat." And so I think he's going to get a lot of John Deere stuff from back home. We grew to love, of course, always love my family. And as a single woman, I put all my maternal affections into my nephews. And, of course, when you have your own, it kind of balances out a little. But I've always thought a lot of my sister and her family and the stand that they make for the Lord, and appreciate how good you've been to them in this time of trying. And I know that Brother and Sister Horton feel the same way. It's a never said it would be an easy road, but God said he'd take us through, didn't he? And it's such a, well, it just gives you a warm, warm, fuzzy feeling, I guess, just to be back. I can remember, I know it sounds silly, but I can remember when the carpets were green, wasn't they? Boy. And if you remember, those of you who was there, I thought I would be real ingenious one night, and I preached about busting a rock, and it went all over the sanctuary. It busted in a million pieces. Do you remember that? Brother Savage, instead of saying, "You're never allowed back in my pulpit," he said, "Every time you're in this area, I want you in my pulpit." So he liked it, but not very many pastors would have welcomed that. It's just a blessing it didn't hit somebody in the head, you know. I didn't think that it would bust like that. I thought it just split open, not shoot all over the place. But anyway, I've got a lot of fond memories, a lot of good memories, and I'm going to quit reminiscing, but it's been a while, so I've got a little right to visit with you just a minute. But anyway, as you know, we've been blessed. I've got a wonderful husband and three beautiful children, and God has his way. And I've been a homemaker for going on 8 years, and so if I don't preach my way out of a paper bag tonight, you'll know why. But anyway, turn with me to Deuteronomy, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 20. And we apologize for being late. Not that I've never been late before, but it's we just come right off the road and run into the home and grabbed a few bites of pizza at Ben and Melissa's, and then we ran over to Sister Horton's, and bless her heart, I told my husband when we got in the van, I said, "That is no way to greet your hostess." I mean, we come running in like a hurricane, threw our luggage in the room, and she grabbed our, she says, "Can I iron your clothes?" I said, "Sure." So we cut all of our clothes out of the suitcases, and she set up the iron and ironed all of our clothes, and we was brushing teeth and fixing hair. And so if we look decent tonight, it's Sister Horton's fault, because she ironed all of our clothes, and I appreciate it so much. But we made it, and we're thankful. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 20. And I don't quite know where I'm going with this message. It may be one of the strangest messages I've ever preached, or it may be humdrum and old hat. But I've never taken this text before, and I'm sure some preacher has somewhere. And I don't quite know where I'm going to go with it before it's done. But this is what I couldn't get away from. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 19. "When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them. And thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued." Lord, we humbly ask that you would bless this message, if it be according unto your will. Lord, help us not to speak from our own heart, but help us to speak what you give us, Lord, and help us not to be lengthy in our message. Help us to get the message to their hearts, and Lord, let it be anointed. Lord, we ask this in your name. We pray. Amen. Amen. When I was reading this, something really stood out to me. "When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them. Thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege." I lived out in California with my husband for about a year and a half. And it's a whole different culture. You know, every area has a different culture. And mountain people, I have a different culture. And California people. But I must confess, California does get a bad rap. And my husband gets frustrated with that sometimes, because you have such a big state that you have every type almost of culture in that state. If you want redneck cowboys, you go to Sacramento. If you want surf boys, you go to Malibu or something like that. If you want Hispanics, and you go to Los Angeles, or Hollywood movie stars, you know, in Los Angeles. If you want, there is very conservative people in the Valley, very conservative people. But then there is an ultra, ultra liberal party that is called the Green Party. And they make the Democrat Party look conservative. And the Green Party produces tree huggers and everything natural. So it's nothing to go into a town and see dreadlocks and people that don't take care of themselves very well and haven't bathed in a long time. And it may be, one time we was out by the coast and one of those natural people walked by, and we were all the way up at the top of the coast, and they had all already walked all the way down, almost all the way down to the bottom of the cliff there to the shore, and I could still smell him from all the way up there, because they don't take baths, but they don't, yeah. So it's an interesting culture, and those little hippie vans that they used to have back in the 60s, 70s, you see a lot of that. And that culture is just as predominant as Tulsa, Oklahoma, with cowboy hats and Ford trucks and vehicles with might have a red fender and a white hood and a, you know how that goes. Hicks is what they call them, you know, just they halfway fixed their cars. My husband couldn't get over how that they drove our we drove our vehicles around in Oklahoma. But I said I'd much rather big cowboy hats and cowboy boots and Ford trucks than dreadlocks. I'm going somewhere with this. But anyway, in that area, there was a lot of tree huggers, and they really do climb a tree and live in it so people don't cut it down. They really do get up in a tree and live there and never come down to save those redwoods. And I'm not talking about that kind of save a tree tonight. But when I was reading this scripture, when it said, "Thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, that thou shalt not cut them down, And I really have a small thought on save the tree. Save the tree. You know, we believe that the righteous judgeth all things. And I'm slow getting started, but I hope I can get started. We believe the righteous judgeth all things. And we believe that we must use righteous judgment. We believe we have to discern between good and evil and right and wrong. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about, we in our human nature, there's a difference between our judgment and then Christ's judgment. Our judgment and Christ's righteous judgment. We judge, if we're not careful, we want to judge in the flesh and not judge a righteous judgment. And there's a pacifier in the diaper bag. Well, forgive me. Sorry. But we have... Anyway, if we're not careful, we want to judge in our own self. And we see things in our eyes, and we don't see things like Christ sees them. You know, have you ever done it? No, you're probably not guilty of it, but I know I am, and I'll fess up. I have looked a situation over, and I've said to myself, my husband gets so aggravated at me sometimes, he says, "Christina, you presume so much. You have got it all, us women, we have got it all figured out." You know what we call it? We call it women's intuition. But it's really suspicion. And sometimes suspicion gets us in trouble because we look at a situation and we judge that situation as if we know all the facts there is to know. And before we're done talking, we have done made it a fact. Well, you know, they did this, and so that must mean this. And did you see the way they looked? I guarantee you this is what's going on. And before you know it, you have already fabricated the entire motive and purpose and the whole nine yards and ready to throw them out on the boot by the boot heel and not even give them another chance. Amen. Because we've already passed our judgment on things. And we know all the ins and outs of it before we know anything. And there's been times I've had it all calculated and figured, and I mean, I done the pie charts and the graphs, and I got it all down to an art, and I knew that person inside and out, and I knew their motive. And you know that they've got a bad, ill motive. You know that they've got a wrong spirit. You know they're just greedy. You know they just want attention. You know that they're just showing off, and oh, I've got it all figured out. Amen. Well, you know they're a stuck up. You know they're stuck on themselves. Amen. And I've got it all figured out how what they are and how they are and who they are. And oh, I tell you, it's embarrassing when the book is opened up and the opportunity arises to find out the truth. And then I am so humiliated and embarrassed to myself how far off the mark I was. None of y'all's guilty, are you? None of y'all. Yeah. Amen. Isn't this sad? But that's the kind of judgment that he said, don't judge. Judge not that you let not be judged. That's what he was talking about. Amen. We've got to look in the Word of God and know what is sin and declare that as sin. We've got to know those kind of things. Amen. And we've got a book to go by. Amen. But we've got to follow the same pattern. Amen. The Supreme Court's supposed to follow. We're not supposed to be making the law. We're supposed to be interpreting the law. Amen. But now we've got so many churchgoers that want to sit down and make up all the rules and make up all the law. Amen. And they make up things that ain't even in this book. Amen. And if it isn't just like they see it, amen, why, they just don't have the time of day for that person. Amen. Why, who on earth are they? Amen. Because if they don't line up to the way I see things, if they don't line up to the way I do things, if they don't line up to the way I think about things, amen, well, I am I'm the great judge anyway, you know. I've got all divine knowledge and I know everything, and God appointed me a judge over man. Is anybody here feel that way? Sometimes we act that way, though, don't we? We act like we've got some kind of authority to know all the ins and outs of, hey, y'all, I ain't been here in over 10 years probably. So, and I hardly ever talked to Melissa, so I really don't know where I'm at. So if you'll smile, I won't even know I'm hitting you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, amen, sometimes we look at things and we think we've got it all figured out, and the great judge who knows everything is looking down saying, and you got it all wrong. Amen. What you're wanting to do, amen, is just the opposite of what I'm wanting to do. Amen. You're wanting to cut them down, and I'm wanting to build them up. Amen. You're wanting to cut them off, and I'm wanting to join them too. Amen. Oh, sometimes we can be so far off the mark. Amen. Sometimes we can be so quick to judge. We can rush to judgment and be harsh in our judgment. And God forbid the tables ever be turned. And then we are recipients of the same judgment wherewith we have judged, because it
it'll be a hard road for you. If you've made it a hard road for somebody else, if you've made a line that not even you can walk, then what kind of person do you expect? What kind of judgment do you expect you're going to receive in return? I am not a compromiser. I am not a liberal. I do believe in holy living. But I'm going to tell you, friend, we don't always know the whole story. We don't always know the whole matter. We better weigh it in a balance before we destroy that tree that God sees that will be fruitful. Amen. We're besieging a city, and we're going to take that city. We're after the devil, but we've got to be careful. When we're after the devil and we're after the wolf, we've got to be careful that we don't cut down a tree that is fruitful. I'm going to tell you, amen, when we get into that situation, amen, we come into that city. I don't know what time that they go into the city to besiege it. And they surround the city. I don't know what time of year it is. But I can't help but wonder. If you didn't know much about trees like me, you wouldn't know the difference between a maple or a pine or an apple or a pear or a, you know, I'm sorry. Oak tree, I mean, I about can figure out. I think fruit trees are smaller than the bigger ones. Amen. But I really don't know a whole lot about trees. And I guarantee you a lot of these soldiers were not all that learned in trees either. Amen. I don't think they went to treeology school and learned all about trees. Amen. But here they are, they're soldiers besieging a city. Amen. And the law said, the word of God said, amen, don't kill any tree that can bear fruit, because you're going to eat from that tree later on. In your great advancement on this city, don't cut down bulwarks, works, or whatever you want to call it, and bust down the doors with the fruitful tree. Amen. Because that fruitful tree you will find nourishment from. You will find strength from. Later on down the road, they may be the one to touch your lost loved one. They may be the one to win that lost soul. I said, they may be the one to influence your child. Amen, your grandchild, to get the Holy Ghost. Amen, to consecrate themselves to God and the work of the Lord. Amen, they may be the difference for that family member that you've wept over and you prayed for so many years. And you may be cutting down the very fruitful tree, amen, that God intended to use for His glory. Amen. 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 In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, it's talking about the man that, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. Sounds like they don't cut down trees. Stands in the way of sinners. And doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, he knows how to give righteous judgment. Amen. Amen. He finds delight in this law, not self-law. Amen. He finds delight in this book, not self-written book. He finds delight in this book and not his own ideas. He don't get in the way of the sinner, but he makes way for the sinner. He doesn't sit with the scornful, but he backs the preacher. Amen. Because he delights in God's word and God's word alone. And that is his nourishment. And that is his strength. Amen. And it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit now. Listen to this. In his season. So if you go in to besiege a city in the winter, how can you tell what kind of tree it is? There's no fruit. You know, and we're so thankful that God has given us warm weather since we've made this journey. But you know what? I've looked over all of these hills and mountains, and I kept saying to Mom and Dad, oh, if only y'all could see this when it's beautiful, when the green is on, and it's so beautiful. It looks like a bunch of dead sticks now. But, oh, it's so beautiful certain times of the year. Hey, man, if you could just see it then. Hey, man, and you know what? Sometimes when the church is going through a drought, when the church hasn't had rain in a long time, I said when the church is going through a dry spell, you get carnal, they get carnal, and everybody gets carnal, and we're making carnal judgment on carnal people, and what we need to do is get our carnal knees at an altar of prayer and say, God, help me to see it like you see it. Amen. Put your light on this thing. Amen. Because I don't know what that tree will look like in his season. Give him a little bit of time. Give her a little bit of time. You don't know what's going to become of that tree. You don't know what fruit that tree is going to bear. You don't know what that person will accomplish for the Lord. Don't be quick to cut him off. Don't be quick to judge. Amen. But say, oh God, you are the righteous judge, and you deal with them according unto your will. Amen. Save that tree, Lord. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. The liberals quote that, but they don't finish it, because the world was already condemned in its sin. Hey man, I'm not justifying sin tonight. I'm not justifying loose living tonight. But I will tell you this, my friend. We can think we've got it all right, and we can be totally wrong in the way that we present ourselves and not have the spirit and the nature of Christ Jesus.
Ben can vouch for me. I'm not preaching compromise. I'm not preaching worldliness. It's not in my heart. And Sister Webb came up to me, Brother Randy Webb's mother. I hadn't seen her in several years, probably more years than since I've seen y'all. And she hugged my neck and she said, you're just the same as you always were. Well, I know she wasn't talking about my weight or my looks. I got more gray hair, and my eyes are a little bigger, and my body, I'm a little bit bigger. Amen. I knew she wasn't talking about that. Amen. But she's just talking about my consistent lifestyle. She knew that I was the same person that I was last time she saw me. Amen. And I'm not here to put a flower on me. I'm simply saying, since I've seen you before, I've not joined the liberal group. Amen. But this is something that I feel like preaching right now. The delight of the Lord is to be merciful upon whom he will show mercy. Amen. To be gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Amen. Oh, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth. If God would cut you off as easily and quickly as you've cut some people off, and that you've cut them off for reasons that you really don't even have Bible for, amen, my friend, you'd already be burning in hell tonight. But for the mercy of the Lord, but for the grace of the Lord, but for the, oh, friend, this girl would be, I'd be burning.
standing in hell tonight if I was given the judgment that I deserve. But thank God that He does not give us fair judgment, but He gives us a just judgment. And with His judgment, there is always mingled mercy. Amen. Amen. There is a difference when we look into the law with the eyes of criticism and when we look into the law with the eyes of love. And we say, oh God, how can we restore? Or are we searching through the Scripture saying, oh God, how can we condemn? What spirit do we possess in our soul? Now, you can possess the Spirit of Christ. Amen. God, help us to restore. You can possess the right spirit and not compromise one inch. Amen. You don't have to compromise, but you can still have a Christ-like spirit. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. That wasn't just talking about DVDs and movies. And that wasn't just talking about jewelry and makeup and pants. That wasn't just talking about all of those things. Hey man, it was also talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and not making provision for the flesh in jealousy, in bitterness, in backbiting, in grudging, and division and strife and malice and pride and self-will. Hey man, there's so much flesh here that has to be crucified and put on the altar every single day. If Christina doesn't get Christina on the altar, my husband has to put up with a lot. Amen. And that's the truth. Amen. Because if I don't pray like I need to pray, then I cease to see it like Jesus sees it. And I see it like I see it. If I don't pray like I should, I cease to love like Jesus loves. And I condemn when I myself should be condemned. When He was saying not to judge, He was not saying no judgment at all. He's talking to the hypocrite. Hey man, it's okay to give a righteous judgment with a clean heart and clean hands when you have qualified yourself to be put in that position, when you prayed and you fasted for that individual and you've carried a burden for that individual. Hey man, if we pray, I'm preaching to me, y'all. Three fingers are pointing right back at me, and I mean it. Ask my husband after church. Amen. If we're not careful, if we're not careful, we'll criticize and we'll talk about instead of getting on our knees. If we prayed for that person as much as we talked about that person, this church would have revival that not a demon in hell could stop. I said, if we fasted for that person, as much as we ridiculed that person, y'all would have revival that wouldn't stop. I said, if we really carried the cross and the burden for that individual, and we said, oh God, lay that soul on my heart. Amen. The Bible says, pray for your enemy. You may feel like they are your enemy. Amen. Well, then you are required by God's book to pray for that enemy. Maybe this is out of my place, but I'm not an evangelist or a pastor. I'm just here. So, if I'm out of my place, amen. And I don't usually preach this way, and I feel odd about this message, but this is what I got a week ago, and I tried this morning when I was praying to change it, because I thought, Lord, I don't want to preach about trees. I want to preach something exciting and about heaven or something they'll shout with me on, you know. I don't want to preach about trees. Hey, man, I tried to change the subject. I did. I even got my bookmarks in other places for another sermon as a backup. Hey, man, but I kept coming back to this. Save the tree. Save that tree. Hey, man, you see, it's not in its season yet. You can rush to hasty judgment and cut it off. And it's not in its season yet. God's dealing with that tree. Hey, man, God's working with that tree. Hey, man, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence. We don't have enough of those times, do we? Amen. Amen. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Amen. If you find that person in their time of mourning and you judge them because they are not laughing, you have misjudged the tree in its season. If you have misjudged the tree because it's laughing and making light and you're in a serious mood, and you don't think there should be so much frivolity and foolishness in the house of God. Huh? But it may be their time to rejoice and their time to laugh. You've misjudged the tree in its season. Amen. Amen. A time to kill and a time to heal. Amen. Amen. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Amen. A time to get and a time to lose. Amen. That person may be in their time to lose. But you may misjudge the tree in its season and say they've sinned or they would not have lost what they did. But it was their time to lose. So you misjudge the tree in its season. A time to get. We can look at it and say, whew, you can tell who's what their God is, money. They're a millionaire. Well, you can tell what they're doing. They're putting money before God or they wouldn't be a millionaire. And we misjudge the tree in its season. It may have been a time to get. Amen. Job, when everything was restored to him and he had the most beautiful daughters in all the kingdom. Well, that Job's getting awful hooty and high, don't you think? No, it was Job's season to get. Amen. Job was in his ashes. Had lost everything he had. You've sinned, Job! No, it was his time to lose. We don't know the seasons like God knows the seasons. And we've got to be careful that we judge the tree in its season properly. Amen. Because that tree that looks so dead and useless and dried up at the root, hey, man, give it spring. Give it some space. Give it some water. Give it some love. Give it some backing. Give it some support. Hey, man, feed it with prayer. Feed it with fasting. And make that tree to be fruitful again. Make that tree to be prosperous again. Don't be quick in your hasty judgment to kill the enemy and kill a tree that is fruitful. Hey, man, that'll be sitting on your pew. That'll be teaching your kids Sunday school class. That'll be the future secretary of the church. You don't know what God's got for Massanova. Don't kill a fruitful tree, but give it time to grow. Amen. Amen. You see, at the end of that, he says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, if he has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So here we've got a whole school of students, amen, trying to figure out everything and calculate it all up. And God's up in heaven saying, you got it all wrong. Amen. Have you ever turned in a paper you thought you had made 100? And then you got the report back and it was an F? Huh? Some of us think we're doing 100. And we may have it all wrong. You see, that rebellious teenager we think will never come to God. Maybe the next flaming evangelist on the field. That hardened heart by sin that we've given up on 10 years ago, God says, let me work at him a little more. Let me dig at him just a little more. Bear with him just a little longer. Amen. I'm almost done. I feel like I'm boring you. Amen. In Luke chapter 13, amen, Luke chapter 13, amen. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then, after that, thou shalt cut it down. Amen. But there's not very many people saying, then, after that. They're getting the cart before the horse. Lord, no, the cart belongs right here, and the horse belongs right here. And God's saying, no, that's not how it goes. Amen. The horse belongs here, and the cart belongs here. After that, amen, first, let's pray for them. First, let's fast a meal for them. First, let's carry a burden for them. Amen. And then, if there is no fruit, then we can say, Lord, as you see fit, you judge them accordingly. But they are in your hands and not mine. I'm just the dresser. I'm just the keeper. Amen. You are the Lord of the vineyard. I said he is the Lord of the vineyard. It is our duty to dress it, to feed it, to nourish it. Bear ye one another's burdens. So fulfilling the law of Christ, it's more than just the law of morality. It's the law of love. Can we remember how to love unconditionally? Whew, that's hard. I know it's hard. It's hard. It doesn't make you a devil, but it does mean the devil might be using you. Amen. I think I'm a pretty good old gal sometimes. I think I am. I think pretty good of myself. I mean, I know I got faults and stuff. I got some. Well, a lot of them. I know I got faults. I know I do. I got probably more faults than you if we start counting them. I probably do. But I'm glad somebody in here loves me over my faults. Someone said, warts and all. You know? Love covers a multitude. Huh? There's a lot of things that need to be covered with love. Because you got just as many checks on your chalkboard as that person does. Just in a different area. Amen?
He said, get the beam out of your eye that you can get the mote out of your brother's. Amen. And if we're that critical about digging out that mote in that one brother or sister's eye, we got this mess. You know? Now, get good and sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, pray it through, and cast off that load. Get victory in your soul and the love of God through and through. And then with love and compassion, you can pray for that person and prayerfully help them see the mote. Help them get the mote out of their own eye. I mean, it would be like me going and saying, you know, you got a spot on your dress. Now, I could go and get a wet rag and not squeeze it out very good and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub. And she's like, hey, 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 get your hands off. You know, I'll take care of it. You know, or we can say, hey, pull them aside privately and say, hey, you got something on your dress right there. I thought you just might want to know, because we're trying to help. We don't want them to be embarrassed. But some of us have the attitude spiritually. I hope you're making the comparison. In our spiritual judgment, our attitude is, hey, everybody, look at that big old ugly ketchup spot on her dress. Isn't that horrible? She should have never come to church like that. What do you think we ought to do? Well, I think we ought to throw her in the fountain. Let's do it. That's how we're judging other people. We take a little thing and we make it so big that we can't see the person and their virtues and all the pluses and all the good things they have to offer, because we see that big ketchup spot. And we want everybody to know they've got a fault, instead of just going to the side and saying, hey, I thought you might want to know this. You got a little spot on your dress. I thought you would be embarrassed if you knew it. You might want to go take care of it. Huh? See, you can say the same thing, but in a different spirit. If your motive is to kill, you will. But if your motive is to help, you will. If when you go to correct a brother or sister, you do it with all the love Christ can give you, and you do it saying, I want to help you, they'll know you're wanting to help them. You can say the same thing. Don't compromise. You can say the same thing. But you can have so much love about you, they got to love you anyway, even if they don't listen to you. They know you mean well for them. Say the same thing. Don't compromise an inch. But love them to pieces. And then they can't help but say, oh, I don't believe it, or see it the way they do, but boy, they're so precious. You know, they may not change, but you'll have a friend. You'll have a friend. Or you can make an enemy and you can destroy and tear down. I had a situation, and I'm closing, I really am. The Bible says in St. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. If you're here and you're lost, if you're here and you're not saved, he has given you mercy upon mercy upon mercy. And it's because he wouldn't bruise the reed. Because he wouldn't break that bruised reed. And he wouldn't quench that smoking flax. That's the reason you're here tonight. If you don't know the Lord. Because his mercy endureth forever. And if somebody has misjudged you, and it has hurt and caused a bitter hurt, a bitter wound, because you know what you were and what you said and what you meant, and you have been totally misjudged, and you feel so hurt and bitter and misunderstood, take that hurt to the Lord. Because you've needed mercy. You've got to pray, God, let me have mercy to the one who has misjudged me. to the one who has wanted to lay the axe to my tree, to the one who's ready to kill me. God, help me to have such mercy, because I don't want to be cut down. And so, God, don't let me cut down those who are trying to cut me down, not to return evil for evil, but to return good for evil. It's such a basic principle, but it seems like so many of us have lost it in the shuffle of prayerlessness and indifference and careless living. We have trusted so long that we're holiness. And we are. We're not compromising one inch. No, we're not. And thank God, we're not. But your righteousness is filthy rags if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you. We've got to have the love of God. Look for the fruit. My mom and dad was clearing woods out in the back of their house. There was a patch of woods, and Dad decided he's going to do it the old-fashioned way. So he gets out there, and by hand, he cuts down those trees and digs up those roots by hand. And he clears the whole woods that way. And so he's got a park going now. He's got some of the best trees that he left and the greenest grass, because he didn't come with a bulldozer and just clear it all out. He just, by hand, done the whole thing. But there was one tree he looked at and he said, you know, I think that's a fruit tree. But there was no fruit on it. And there was no leaves on it at the time. And he wasn't really for sure. And it was so suffocated by all the other trees that he had never seen fruit on it. They had never seen any fruit back in those woods. But it was so suffocated by all the other trees. But when he was going through cutting down the trees, he saw that tree and he said, you know, I think that might be a fruit tree. I'm not for sure what kind, because there was no leaves. And then, after a little bit, the leaves started coming on. And he said, well, I believe that that is a peach tree. But I've never seen a peach on it, so I'm not for sure if it'll bear any fruit. But I don't think I'm going to cut it down. I think I'm going to leave it. Just leave it a little while. And do you know, after they cleared out all of those other trees and gave it some space, gave it some room to grow, and they let it alone, like the dresser told the Lord of the vineyard, they let it alone. By the time it came its season to bear fruit, that thing was, it was full. It was overflowing. It was heavy with peaches. And it was the real nice, juicy, I remember the name of them. It was Alberta peaches. The good peaches. It was so good that someone snuck in the night and took a whole truckload and cleared the tree plumb out. And they didn't get one of them. But it was a good tree. But the point I was making was this. It was heavy laden with the most delicious peaches. But when they found that tree, it was the dead of winter, no leaves. He could have just hacked it down with all the other trees. But he said, I think that's a fruit tree. And then when it started growing leaves, he says, I believe it's a peach tree. But let's just wait and see. And so he just let it alone. Give it space. And watched it grow. And before long, it went from bearing no fruit to bearing an abundance of fruit that he could eat. And friend, that thorn in your side, that thing that's driving you crazy because you think God should have dealt with yesterday or last year, why don't you just let it alone? Give it space and put it in God's hands. See what God will do with it. It might bear fruit that your children and your grandchildren can reap from and benefit. Just let it grow.
Give it some space. Amen. Save the tree. He loves us. He loves us. Sometimes I feel so loved, I think he might love me more than he does you, brother. No. He loves you just as much as he loves me. And even if you do frown at me, and even if you do shun me and don't shake my hand, and even if you don't do me right, guess what? God loves you just as much as he does me. So if I revile, then I'm touching God's property. Huh? As you would do unto others, as you'd have others do unto you, do unto others. Because we never know. Amen. When we do it to others, we've done it unto him. When you fed, you fed me. When you've clothed, when did we see you naked? And we did. The least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. When you do good deeds, like ironing the whole family's clothes, when you've done it to the least of these, that's what I am. You've done it unto me. But when you've cut down and destroyed and gossiped and backbite and tore down and had an ugly spirit toward a child of God, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Moses said, I'm not for sure if it was Moses now, but there was, I may be totally off base, but there was one, it was Abraham, Moses, I believe it was Moses, Ben can correct me, that said, what are we that you should talk against us? Yeah, it was Moses. What are we that you should talk against us? You're not talking against us. You're talking against God. I'm just flesh and bone like you. There's nothing special about me. I'm just as fallible as you. It's not me you're attacking. You're attacking this book. You're attacking God. You're attacking the things of God. It's God's property. Hands off. Let it alone. And save the tree. Let's pray. And I honestly, if you smile at me, I won't know you're guilty. But if this makes you mad, you might be guilty. God, help us. Help us. Help us to be like Christ. And let it alone. And pray and fast and say, God, make it fruitful. Make it fruitful. I don't know if my husband can come to the piano or not. So Sister Marcia does such an awesome job, but you know how it is. He's a good piano player. I want to show him off just a little bit. See, that's pride, isn't it? But, you know, I've been a little too foolish probably tonight, but I know your pastor, and I've seen him be silly, so I don't think I've crossed a line. But would you please, I know you've not shouted, but I felt like I've kept most of your attention. Maybe a couple of you went to sleep on me. But I won't judge you. You probably wore plumb out from working so hard. See? So easy to judge. They don't like me. They went to sleep on my preaching. No, they just didn't get but an hour of sleep last night, and they're wore slap out from working all day. Yeah, it's so easy to misjudge. Isn't it? Let's pray. God, create in me a clean heart. And most of all, renew a right spirit in me. Search me, God. If there be anything that oughtn't be, make me and mold me in your likeness, in your image. Don't let me see it my way. And I'm going to tell you this as I close. I'm not up here acting holier than you. My husband knows me well, and I've fought some battles, and that's why I can talk about it.
the devil will get a hold of you before you realize what the devil has done. And he can take the best of us and wound us just right. And we can get a bitter, bitter heart. And never even realize we do until we're so bound by that spirit that we don't know how to get out of it. We don't know how to get loose from it. One time I set my face to seek the Lord, like Daniel set his face. And every day I prayed an hour for me. That's selfish, ain't it? But I did. I prayed an hour every day for me. And you know, I didn't say, God bless me, God prosper me, God do this for me. I said, God search me. And I made it a continual prayer every day. God, remove the calluses from my heart and remove the scales from my eyes. And I prayed that way for a solid week, an hour each day. God, remove the calluses from my heart and the scales from my eyes. Well, I was getting spiritual. I was feeling stronger every day. I was feeling the Holy Ghost help me. I felt like I was getting closer to God. I mean, I'd really gaining ground. And that's what some of you are doing. You'll get blessed by God. And you'll gain ground. And then, whoop, you run up against that wall. And what happened to me, God saw. And one day, about after a week of praying that way, God saw a situation fell my way. And all the ducks just lined in a row. Everything that could have happened to have got under my skin, it got under my skin. The Lord saw fit to let every circumstance fall just right. Couldn't have been more divinely planned than anything it couldn't have been better planned. It couldn't have got under my skin any worse than what it got under my skin. And I've never, ever, 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 my sister can vouch, I have never had a fighting spirit. I have never had a fit of anger. I've never displayed a fit of rage. And I've never understood people that did, because I couldn't comprehend that. I had no mercy. It'll come around to you if you're not having mercy. I couldn't comprehend that battle. I couldn't understand that fight until God saw fit to have me in the right place at the right time. Before I knew it, I felt an anger boil up in me that I did not know was there. I felt a bitterness boil up in me I did not know was there. I had justified my conversation for several months against this individual. I had justified my conversation. I felt totally justified in the way I judged that individual. But in that certain point, at that certain time, in a public place in front of other people, I became angry. And I spoke in an ungodly way. I never cursed, but I spoke with anger. And I displayed anger and hurt and bitterness. I was so broken. I was so embarrassed. And before that day was out, I was making amends and apologizing to everybody, not just the person I'd done it to. Hear me. I was apologizing to every single individual in that sanctuary that day that I knew witnessed it. I made a public apology to each, didn't go in front of the church, but I went to each individual that witnessed it. And I said, it was wrong, it was sin, it was not like Christ. I was out of my place, and I brought a reproach to Christ. Please forgive me. I didn't just go to that individual. I went to everyone who witnessed it. And I broke down and I cried and I cried. And I said, God, I prayed for a solid week for you to draw me closer to you. I begged you to make me more like you. If this is what it's going to get me, I display myself in a fashion I've never displayed in my entire life and ministry. And if this is what a week of prayer will do, then I don't see the point in praying. If you pray a week and beg God to draw you closer to Him and then you act like a devil, what have you accomplished? So I got discouraged and I gave up that prayer. And it was about a month later, I was sitting at, it was Christmas, and I was sitting in the living room talking to Ben. And I was telling Ben about it and how I didn't understand. I had prayed a whole week for God to remove the scales from my eyes and the calluses from my heart. And why didn't God answer my prayer? And right there, after a month of pondering that question, it was like the Lord opened my eyes and said, Christina, I did answer your prayer. You have been boiling inside all of these months, and you've been harboring feelings against this person all of these months. And the only way you could see yourself is for you to have a public display that would embarrass you. I did remove the scales from your eyes. I did show you yourself. Now what are you going to do about it? Instead of justifying my action and getting used to making a public display of anger and fits and making it a way of life, I said, oh God, forgive me. I have shamed the name of Jesus. I have brought a reproach to the ministry, and I have brought a reproach to your name. God, please create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Don't let your wound fester until it is infected with bitterness. It will kill you. They may have really done you wrong, but you're going to commit spiritual suicide, retaliating. Bring it to Jesus and beg God to remove the calluses. Beg God to remove the scales and let you see yourself. Beg God to put love in your heart. Beg God to put forgiveness in your heart. Beg God for mercy, because it's you that's the drowning victim. It's you that's going to split hell wide open. They may have done you wrong, but bitterness will take you to the grave. You can be the one in the right, and before you're done, you will be the one in the wrong. So I'm not standing up here acting holier than thou and telling you how to run your life, and I've never made a mistake. I'm up here saying it's a cruel vice. It's a horrible enemy. And instead of making excuses for your conduct, get it under the blood and beg God to give you a Christ-like spirit again. Beg God to make you like Him again. And if your enemies spit in your face, you can pray for them and love them anyway. Let's all stand. I'm sorry I was so long-winded. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I really felt like the Lord gave me this. I really do. And you may not want me to hear me preach ever again with me confessing the things I confess to you tonight. The preachers are never supposed to be wrong.
Never supposed to sin. So if I'm not up here, if you don't want to listen to me again, I understand. But I'm just being real with you and I'm being honest. I'm not trying to act like I'm better than you. I'm not trying to say you're some devil or you're some witch because you've acted ugly. I'm saying you're a pitiful soul that's trapped in a vice of bitterness that's destroying you. And you're miserable as can be. And I pity you.